I am now. I mean, I was on. My mic was just muted. So I shall not be muted. Amen. You guys good? Good to be here. It's been a long time since I really shared here. Actually, it's been a long time. So I'm glad I'm here. It's good to see you guys. It's like a family reunion when I come back, so it's good to see everybody. Look, we just really preached the gospel this morning. I told Pastor not to worry. I said, I will preach the gospel. He said, well, you have a pretty good track record, so I'm not concerned. But I'll tell you, we had a song this morning, and it talked about, since your love got a hold of me, I'm a new creation and I'm forever changed. The gospel's all about changing you, not just blessing you. The gospel's all about changing you, not just meeting the needs that you believe you have. Gospel wants to get on the inside of you. The Spirit of God wants to come on the inside of you and change you on the inside. And when I'm talking about the inside, I'm talking about your motives, your reason for being, your will, your purpose, your perspectives. Because in every single one of us sitting here, that was twisted from the time we were born. Every one of us. There's just no way around it. We were born outside of him. We were born into Adam, and you must be born again. So we were born into a lie. We were born into no identity. You were trying to find yourself all along the way. And the person you actually find that you think is you, when you get in Christ, you realize it wasn't you at all. The person you're trying to be, the person you're trying to get people to like, the whole fitting in, the insecurity, the self-consciousness. And nobody ever did good in that. It's never done any glory to the kingdom of God. And it's a lie. The emotions that you lived and expressed from the time you can remember, like every one of us in this room is in the same exact boat on this. Like nobody had to teach you to be angry. You didn't have to study, take a course, stay up late. Nobody had to teach you to be self-conscious. Nobody had to teach you to feel jealous, frustrated, discouraged. Just came through the fall of man by sheer instinct. And the reason is, it's because every one of us was self-conscious, self-focused, self-centered, because we were born in the flesh. We were outside the Spirit of God. Now, the amazing thing is, it says if you live by the Spirit or are led by the Spirit, you won't even fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that's an incredible promise. What do you do with that? If I live or am led by the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then you got folks saying, yeah, but brother, nobody's perfect. We're always going to sin. And we're so busy exalting our past experience above his grace that we might not ever step into what's even possible. It's hard to even talk about in today's church without the heresy flag and the blaspheme flag and the judgment flags. So am I even talking perfection? No, I'm saying, what is it possible to live? Where does grace want to take you? And if you wrap true faith around his grace, what's that salvation look like? Probably a lot like him. And he's the one we say we adore. He's the one we say we're in love with. He's the one we're singing to and giving glory to. It would probably be pretty amazing if we could all just look a little more like him. If he's that amazing... Look, I don't know about you, but this stuff makes sense to my heart. Like, I find new life. I'm a new creation. I'm forever changed. You think about those words that we freely sing, and music's amazing, and we freely sing those words. Think about those words. I'm a new creation, forever changed. What he's saying is, the truth of the gospel wants to come on the inside of you and change the way it's been. You know, the reason we're hurt, the reason we're offended, the reason we're insecure, the reason we're self-conscious, the reason we need people to say nice things to us, the reason sometimes we do nice things for others because of so much we get out of it. Oh, we hide behind it. Think, oh, I just like to do nice things. You might be feeding off of that. Because when they don't like what you got, you're hurt, you're broken. If they reject your gift, you cry. That's a warning signal. You did not get the gift for them. If you're crying over the gift you got them and they didn't want your gift and you're crying, you did not get the gift for them, friend. You're living off the high of however you need to feel in that moment because you feel like you're doing good and you feel like, and you're trying to believe something that it's the wrong motive because it's not producing life. You guys okay? Listen, these things are just helpful because I don't know, but I don't know about you, but I grew up that way. I grew up very self-conscious. I needed things in my life. I had no clue who I was. And when I thought I knew who I was, I found out that wasn't me at all. There was a long season in my life. I needed you to like me because I didn't like me. And I thought if you liked me, at least I might be likable. Because I sure didn't like me. So if I could talk in a way, act in a way, if I could get a chuckle at work, if I could put somebody down and get a laugh, send something my way that I was lacking because I didn't know him. I'm just declaring loud because I have a mic on, loud, that none of those things are the way we were created. And born again is not a prayer that takes you to heaven. It's a new creation forever changed. And that doesn't mean you can't slip into something and whatever, but your heart has changed. You don't want to ignore it. You're not looking for denial. You're not making excuses. You're going after him. You're taking account of your own heart. You're being a steward of your own life. You're not letting things matter more if it doesn't matter most. You're not letting what a person said or did decide who you are and how you are. Come on, I've been Christian 23 years now. June will be, 23 years. June will be 24. Yeah, that sounds like a lot. I don't even know where that time went, 24 years ago. I got saved, it feels like yesterday. But in 24 years, I've seen a lot of hurt, pain, frustration, despair, anxiety. I need prayer. Please, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And when I look at what the story is behind it, it's always people and what people are doing and what I'm going through and how. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing after years go by and now I travel, it's really in front of me all the time. Oh my goodness, have we been tricked into turning the gospel into me getting through? Is the gospel actually all about me still? Is it all about me making it? Is it all about him cutting me a break, showing me a break, giving me favor, provision, more? Or is the gospel about new creation forever changed? Man, I used to get angry when they did this. I don't get angry anymore. I hurt for them. I used to get it in bitterness, and I don't get in bitterness anymore. I find mercy in my heart because my perspective's changed. My life has changed. I'm not going to let where people aren't decide where I am. I'm following him. Come on, guys, it's straight up Christianity. It's straight up Christianity. And you're the steward of your heart, and you're the only one that can do anything about what I'm saying. Your whole family, the whole world around you, nobody has to be on page. Don't you think that everybody has to be believing what you're believing for you to be okay? You got to be in him. You lay your head on the pillow at night. Your conscience is clear. You've been in fellowship with him. Your heart's guarded in him. You've searched your heart. Your heart's clean. It just, you go to sleep. You actually wake up in the morning, and you're okay. Like, yeah, that's possible scenario. And nobody owes you anything, and your day isn't dictated by how it's unfolding, and you don't have too much on your plate before you wake up because you have a higher reason for living. You're not trying to make it. You're a new creation, and you're forever changed. You're not trying to make it. You're not just crying out for God to help you and get you through the day. No, no. He wants to put more of who he is in you, so that's relative in your day. We said it this morning. If he said he's the light of the world, and then he went to sit with the Father and said, okay, now you guys are light of the world. Tag, you're it. I'm going to put who I am inside of you. I'm not here just so you make it till the end. I'm not your survival kit. I'm not your genie in a bottle. Yes, I love you. I'll bless you and give you kisses on the cheek through life because that's how I am. But the reason I'm in you is so you can follow me and be the light of the world. Come on. If you miss that, you miss why he came. And all of a sudden, you're dictated by how life's unfolding. And somebody says, how are you doing? And you say, well, keep me in prayer. It's been a tough season. Well, keep me in prayer. You don't know what I've been going through. Well, keep me in prayer. It's been really, well, keep me in prayer. And all of a sudden, your words give away your perspective. And if your words are giving you away a perspective, don't think the enemy doesn't know your perspective. I'm not glorifying him. He's just not stupid. In that sense, he seeks who he can devour. He says, wrong motive, wrong perspective, bam, bam, bam. And then you go, wow, I've been in church, I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying. Why are all these bad things happening to me? Why are you allowing it, God? And it's none of the above. None of the above. But now you're in a quandary and you have so many questions, you've lost sight of the things you've said you know. If you let your circumstances decide truth in your life, you're going to be way deceived. God never promised you your circumstances to be the way you prefer. Please don't lord your preference over the kingdom of God. I'm not being mean. Don't lord your preferences. Preferences become idols in people. People connect through preferences and, well, I desire. They church shop through preferences. We live our lives sometimes preference-driven. It can have zero to do with truth. It could become judgmental. It could become idolatry. All of a sudden, you're only around this kind of person, and this kind of person you avoid, and this, and you work with it. If God connected you with who he wanted you to be with, you'd be amazed who you'd be connected with as far as walking in things, working on ministry, leadership, church stuff. People that would challenge you probably and stretch you and cause you to grow. People you would never choose on your own. People church shop. I've watched it. I travel every weekend. People church shop. Pastors get under the pressure to produce the product they're looking for. And now we're selling the gospel instead of becoming Christ-like. Look, I am not being mean, okay? But I gotta say this. There is tons of discouraged people that attend church weekly. It's a giveaway that we don't understand why he came. And we're letting life speak louder than truth. You've been a pastor a while. All kinds of that stuff going on. It's a giveaway. It's an indictment against us that we've taught ourselves into believing he's just here for us instead of here to live through us. You do not have to. You do not. But thank you for your encouragement. I love you. Wow. You do not have to have people treat you right to walk in him. You do not have to have everything go the way you prefer to live in him. Just because you were betrayed by someone in the natural doesn't mean you have to live betrayed. You live by faith, and you follow him. Are you with me? Come on, this is important stuff. Pastor Dave knows this. He's pastor. You don't have to pastor to know this, but when you pastor, you really know this. Most of the counseling, most of the prayer requests, most of the things are personal struggles, life struggles, people struggles, and it's dispositions that are being translated or decided through the struggle. And people need something to change for them to be okay. That's not a good sign. Wonder if you don't need anything to change to be okay. Because wonder if none of those things have anything to do with being okay. See, we don't like talking like this because we want all our little ducks in a row. But your ducks are not in a row. No one's. It's not what you're here for to pursue ducks in a row. There's no duck in a row anointing, no duck in a row fire tunnel, no duck in a row nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver you out of them all if you keep your eyes on truth. Yeah? You live godly, you live in righteousness, you go after him, you're going to suffer persecution. These are promises. Some people just get wigged out because you don't believe like they believe. They freak out. Because you won't do what they would need to do, or you don't go where they need to go. Or you're weird. Okay. When I worked at work, I had a different mindset than my coworkers. It was amazing. None of them were confessing Christians. I should have had a different mindset. But for the 13 years I worked with them, I was the same. And now I'm changed, and they're freaked out. They used to say, well, you're in a cult. Who brainwashed you? You're brainwashed. I'd say, my brain is thoroughly washed. And they'd be like, ah, and they'd run. Why? I'm a new creation. I'm forever changed. I have a different reason for being. The why in my life is different. I'm not trying to get you to like me. I'm not insecure. I'm not self-conscious. I'm not wondering what you think. It's irrelevant to me. Means nothing to me, and I'm not trying to dishonor you. It means that area has been fulfilled in my life. And we're so used to living in those needs that we almost think that's insulting. I'm saying, well, I don't need you. No, I need you to lock arms with me and run this race. But I don't need you to be okay. That's called idolatry. If I need you to be okay, I'm only as good as you're doing me. So I'm as strong as the weakness I'm around. Meaning you're not always going to treat me perfect. Well, brother, sometimes you just need an encouraging word. I agree. And sometimes you get in a place and God is so gracious, somebody says the right thing at the right time, right? That's not to enable you to be there in 3 weeks. So if God was merciful and touched you in the nick of time and got you out of a, get the message and go, duh, what was I doing there? I'm not created to be there. What if you wake up every day? What if you wake up every day, and just let the gospel teach you this one thing? I say this everywhere I travel. I'm saying it here in my home church. It's 12:27. I'm saying this right in my home church. Watch this. If all you get out of this morning is this one thing, you'll do so well. The gospel teaches you this one thing. That when I wake up in the morning, nobody owes me a thing. Nobody owes me a thing. Because I owe no man anything but to love. You be honest with me. Be Christian 8, 10, 12, 15 years in your life's contingent on how people are treating you. How life's unfolding. How the job's going. How the bosses treat me. How my spouse is. Be honest. A lot of things dictate our disposition. So then we go to work. And we don't shine as a light because we're overwhelmed because we need people to, and we got vulnerabilities, and all of a sudden the whole reason he's in you is suppressed. He said, let your light so shine. So anything that hinders the light is an enemy to the will of God. It's a lie. It has to be a lie. If it hinders the light, it has to be a lie. Is God in position, an old man sitting up on the clouds somewhere, and he's just obligated to make your day unfold the way you write it? It's never going to happen. Just get that delusional thought out of your mind. That's why there's discouraged Christians. Because the question, where's God been? Well, if he loved me, how come? If he didn't love you, why did he send his son when you were yet a sinner? See, we look to the wrong places to find the right things. You know, they ask Jesus a lot of questions in the Bible, and they never ask him from a real good heart. They'd frustrated, trapping him, tricking him. He never answered the questions. Did you notice? You ought to check it out. They ask him a question. He says, let me ask you a question. How many people say, well, if God really loves me, then how come? And they're mad. Or they're just hurt. Or they're just overwhelmed and troubled, and they're not mad at God per se, but they're just in a dilemma. Well, if God really loved me, then how come? See, I never answer that question. I always answer it with a question. Because maybe we ask the wrong questions because we're still self-focused. Maybe we aren't kingdom-minded as we sing. Maybe the way we express our lives reveals that we're not as kingdom-minded as we sing. Maybe we're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. Maybe we're actually seeking our well-being. Oh, I'm calm. But thank you. You are so encouraging. I got two brave women. Preach it. Preach it. And Pam, preach it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. Go to Philippians with me, please, if you would, please. I remember getting saved at work. It was the most amazing thing because I really did have an encounter with God. And people say, well, there was a special grace. And then they try to exclude their own ability to have a relationship with God because they compare my encounter with, well, I never had that. And I get it a lot from people. And it's like, why are we always doing that? That's this natural human relating wisdom that's always keeping you in a quandary. So you're always finding a reason why you can't. Well, I didn't have. And, well, some people have instant, some people process, and we're always doing that stuff. And it's like, wait, stop, forget about all that. He's here, you're here. He's here, you're here. Yay, just live by faith. Wake up in him. Good morning. Glad to be awake and alive. That sure beats, oh, I can't believe it's 6 o'clock already. I didn't sleep a wink, and I'm going to have a terrible day. God, you better give me grace. That's probably not prayer. It's probably a self-conscious, self-centered, deceived moment that's been birthed through the fall of man, and we were born into it. But now that we're born again, it'd probably be good to get that old life stuff away from us. Listen, self, living for yourself is counterproductive. I've said this for years. I'm just going to say it again. Todd screams it out everywhere he goes. If you're a Christian for yourself, you're in big trouble already before you even start. If you're a Christian for you, you are already done. Because you're going to get discouraged, disheartened, bewildered, and you'll have 1,000 more questions than you have understanding. Because you're going to let life interpret truth instead of him. And unfortunately, and I apologize sincerely as best I can on behalf of preachers, that we haven't made that clear. We have preached messages that constantly bless us, meet our needs, God's good, God's love. And we interpret his love into blessing instead of transformation, pulling you out of what you never were intended to be. And all of a sudden, God's love is all about making sure your bank account's full, making sure you get the promotion, making sure your boss changes because he bothers you. And if he really loved me, why has he still got me working there? I put in 5 other applications. Why haven't I got a phone call from one of them? I don't know where God's been. He's waiting for you to yield so you can become more like him and see your boss different. Because if he gets you a new job, he's empowering you to stay that way, and somebody else is going to bother you. And you're actually called to men, and you're running from them. You need everything to go your way, and you call Christianity. It's deceived, and it's preached all the time, and I apologize for it. I wish that stuff was never preached. God is good. I said it this morning. You walk in this thing that I'm preaching, your prayer life will totally change. It'll be more communion, affirmation of the things you know and understand, declaration. It is no fear. There's no, please, God, why? No trouble-driven prayers. The stuff, I need you to this and this and move this, God, and you got to, and please, God, let me. No, when you're living in this, those things just happen and unfold according to everything necessary to walk out what you've set your sights on. See, because if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything necessary to walk out the kingdom will be added to you. So you're not going to lack anything. So your whole prayer life completely changes. Be honest with me. If we were really honest, how many times do we pray because of need, despair, fear, concern? And we've studied the situation, respond with words we've read, and call it prayer. What about Father, I just thank you. You're so for me. Man, you know the situation. Man, I didn't see this layoff coming. That's the last thing that was on my mind. You know we have a budget and stuff. We haven't over-budgeted, God. I'm glad my conscience is clear on that. But we still have bills and money's a reality. Lord, I thank you. You're for me. And I don't have to live like a man that's laid off and lose a day of productivity. I can walk and shine because I know you're for us. And I'm going to knock on some doors and you're going to open one. And I'll find favor with someone. And someone will see the things in my life that I can give in exchange for a salary. And thank you for always working things out, Lord. Instead of prayer chains and calling your wife and you can't even tell her. And now she's bawling and you can't even talk. And you call 10 Christian friends that are full of faith because you got laid off. And there's not an ounce of faith in the whole process. You've become laid off. And you're reacting to laid off. And you're using spiritual principles so you think it's spiritual. But you're not coming as a son. There's no faith. It's just driven. That's why a lot of people in those situations aren't doing well, because they got the idea that God's supposed to make sure that never happens in the first place. So when it does happen, we got questions. Well, I thought he was going to take care of me. Well, you ain't dead yet. And even if you are, you're going to live forever if you're a believer. So it ain't even about that. So maybe we got our eyes on the wrong things here. And maybe the whole reason you woke up today is to shine, and you don't know that. And you thought it was to get through. Or maybe you thought somebody was supposed to go out of their way to make sure you feel special. I think Jesus took that upon himself. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you're waiting for someone to make you feel special, that's why you're let down. Bummer. Come on. I know this is going to sound like a sad, not excited statement. There's probably been more hurt and more pain in relationships than there's been blessing because of the self-centeredness that's alive on the earth. And it's everybody else's fault. And they shouldn't know. Well, how could they? Well, I can't believe. And we get tricked into letting where people aren't decide where we are all the time. And all of a sudden, we have a reason and an excuse for the way we are if it's not like him. And we have it justified, so that means tomorrow is always yesterday. But man, we've been at church. Yeah? And we sang, Holy is the Lamb. Whew. Look, I'm not being mean. I want to be starkly real. I'm not correcting you. I'm encouraging you. I'm saying this is why he came. And if you guys give me a mic, this is the stuff I'm going to preach. It's just a guarantee. Like, I'm going to a rehab in Florida, 150 in-house this weekend, coming weekend, right after New Year's. I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite places to minister because there's so many lies embroiled in addictive lifestyles. And people's identities and the devil just making claim and taking season and you get in there and you start sharing why God sent his son. It's a wipeout. The last time I was there, I went there last year. They were doing 12-step program, which I'm not against. I'm not speaking bad about. Don't write no bad stuff. I don't read stuff anyway. So if you do people do stuff on like YouTube and stuff, do they get comments and stuff? Yeah, don't talk to me on them. I never look at that stuff. I won't read your comment. I'm actually concerned about that social side of media. The internet's amazing, but the last thing we need is an unaccountable platform for human opinion. It's the last thing you need. Is everybody voicing their opinion? Paul said, don't be wise in our own opinion, and we're all driven to give our opinion. James says, be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen, and we're ticked off, don't want to hear it, and got a lot to say. That should be a problem. Doesn't sound like the word to me. Slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. Ticked off, don't want to hear it. That's not an accident that it's opposite. It's called The Fall of Man. And I said this in a church a couple weeks ago. What I was saying when I go to that rehab, just so I don't stop in a point here, let me just finish that up. I'm going to preach this stuff like a madman to them. Because I believe it. I'm going to trust some of them believe it. I went last time, they were 12-step, and he said, man, we've been doing a 12-step program, and it's been good. But what you're saying changes things. It's the power of the gospel. And we need to implement these truths into this ministry. I said, awesome. And I said, well, I'm going to be here for the next couple of days. They're going to be implemented. You just see people change. I get emails from them. The healings that took place, the redemptive stuff, the water baptisms. We took the people that got saved right to the beach in Florida and just baptized them on a public beach. Crowds gathered to listen. Just fun. I might get to see her. I don't know if she's still in the program. A girl went came up to me at the beach. She hugged me and she said, are you telling me God can heal HIV? I said, honey, he raised Jesus from the dead. He breathed into dirt and a man stood up. Hello? So are we believers or do we just read our Bibles? Your Bible and my Bible says that God went into the ground and a man stood up. Well, I don't believe that. Well, your life will reveal that. You don't have to boast in your unbelief. It's an evil and wicked thing. It stops God. However, she asked a question. Are you telling me, God? I said, honey, are you a prostitute anymore? No. You a heroin addict? No. So you're not living the same? No. I said, so you've changed? No. I said, so the girl I'm talking to isn't the girl we're talking about? I said, so if God will never judge you for where you've been, now that your new creation forever changed, if God will never judge you for where you've been, why is where you've been judging you? 3 months after I left, I got her confirmation email. January, February, March. Negative, negative, negative. Removed from the HIV list. Why? Why? Because the blood speaks better things. And you know what we do? We even see a person like that. Well, I remember she used to really sleep around. She used to do everything just to get high. That's crazy. Can you imagine all the men she's been with and the things she did for 20, 50 bucks just to stay high? That's gross. That's great. Jesus don't see that at all. He sees a woman that had no idea who she was, that got caught up in the fall of man, took a wrong turn, a wrong road, and the whole time grace pursued her and said, you're more than that. That's not who you are. My blood's speaking better things. And his love wooed her out of the darkness into the light. And then he redeemed her and gave her life and even took the things she brought upon herself out of her and made a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things, and sometimes the best we can do in the church, well, God doesn't do that stuff today. You are talking about the wrong God that I'm talking about. I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm not even going to fight. Because when you talk like that, you just tell me you don't know him at all. You've just studied theology or something, and you have an intellectual relationship with truth. And you don't know the Lord. You can't talk like that and know the Lord. That's the Lord. I got people, they say things, they stop me in meetings, they come, sometimes they come. I've had people come, they say, I come. It's amazing what motivates people. I came with my wife because I was going to sit and challenge you. I wanted to show her where you're wrong because I've been reading my Bible for years. I'm like, wow. And those are usually good testimonies. They wouldn't be coming telling me that. They come and they tell me how they heard and they got convicted and da, 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 da. But isn't it amazing what motivates a man? Here's what's scary to me. You ain't going to get any more clear truth than Jesus. And he's speaking to them for years on the streets. And they're deceived enough to call him a blasphemer and hang him on a cross. And they're sure they're right. That's frightening. That's frightening that you can be so set in the way you hear through what you believe that the truth itself could be standing in front of you and you can't recognize it. And then we're going to be quick on social media to judge who's who and who's a wolf in sheep's clothing and who's a false prophet and who's a, because we have a little church background. You be careful. Because if you ain't seeing what Jesus said you should see, then you have to wonder if you're walking in the kingdom of God. You think about John the Baptist. Who had a greater revelation than John? At 6 months old, he leaped in his mama's womb when he heard Mary's voice. 6 months old in the womb, not 6 months old out of the womb, in the womb 6 months, heard Mary's voice and started kicking. That's mind-boggling. He's born, he's preserved by God, he's in this role that is ridiculous. According to the law, he's in this amazing place. God teaches him in the wilderness. God raises him up with a revelation, and when he lays eyes on Jesus, he knows it's him. Are you with me? Man, I was on my bed, I think it was about 1998. That sounds so long ago. Gee. It was when my hair was just starting to get white. I was just starting to get wisdom. And I'm on my bed, and I was reading about John the Baptist, and Jesus said he was the greatest prophet of them all, and yet he's less than the least. And you're like, what's going on? And you start reading and looking at the story. You know what happens to John when he's talking about John? John sends two disciples to ask Jesus a question that he already knew the answer to. Why? Because he was in prison. And you're supposed to open prison doors. And I've pronounced you, and you said, I'm the greatest prophet of them all, and that I'm the forerunner, and I'm the voice crying out in the wilderness. And I've been hand-raised by God from the time I was in my mother's womb, and you're here to save us, and I'm locked up. I hope we got the right dude. Guys, go ask him if he's the one. John knew he was the one. He let his life ask the question, not his heart. And if you ask them kind of questions, you will trump what you already know. The questions will cloud over what you already know. Jesus said, you go back and tell John. The deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the poor are having the gospel preached to them. Now watch. And blessed is the man who's not offended in me. Did you hear what Jesus said? So what's he saying John was? Offended by his circumstance. And he asked a question he already had the answer to. How many people have been offended by their life? How many people have been in stalemates with God? How many people have chilled on prayer because they're mad about something and the way it unfolded? How many people have lost a loved one and they put God on hold? That's a good sign. I'm not being mean. That's a good sign you never understood relationship in the first place. You're just looking for blessing. You're just asking him to meet your physical needs. You haven't had relationship with him. There's no covenant in that. It's more I do for you, you do for me, instead of all that is mine is yours. Are you with me? Look, man, I'm crying this stuff out. Sometimes I feel like I cried out like a madman. It's so we run well. It's so we don't let the little foxes keep sneaking in and steal the precious fruit of the vine. Because the truth is, I am not talking to a room of hypocrites. You didn't come here because you're trying to find a way to miss God. We come here to celebrate him and to grow up into him in all things. I am not talking to a room of hypocrites. I'm talking to his children, his people. And the whole reason we're to gather is to stir one another in love and good works, not the blessing of the Lord. So you say, well, Jacob said, I'm not letting you go to the angel until you bless me. He's not talking about full vats and barns. Jacob had a lot in his life. He had the blessing of his father Abraham. He had Esau's blessing. He tricked him. Yeah? He
He tricked his dad into blessing him with his brother's blessing. He had a lot of blessings.
He said to the angel, I'm not letting you go, because he perceived it was the angel of the Lord. What's Jacob missing the most? The Lord.
He wants the Lord. I got all this stuff. I got land. I got animals. I got a heritage. I need you.
And when he bumps into the angel and perceives it's the angel, he ain't letting go. He says, I ain't letting go until you bless me. He's not talking about his bank account.
He's saying, I need to know you. I want who you are in me. I want you. It's, man, guys, got to want him. Not just what he can do for us. Let's graduate. Let's graduate and let's want him so that him,
let your light so. How can your light shine before men if you're bothered by people and what they said and did, and if you're remembering your past and you're living in regrets and you're angry about yesterday? Your light's already, it never even turned on. And the whole reason he's in you is to shine. So is it about you never being done wrong in life? Or is it about when you are done wrong, you don't live done wrong? Is it about never being cheated? No, it's about if you are cheated, don't live like you were cheated. Live like he would live. Yeah? It's important. It's a big deal. I'll tell you how big of a deal it is. In my heart and all my conviction, it's why he came and it's why he shed his blood. He didn't shed his blood to put you in some physical place called heaven someday. He shed his blood to put that place in you so that you could go proclaim the kingdom of God is here. See? You can't talk me out of this. Like it's in our hands, guys. It's up to you what you do with truth. It's up to you how you walk in forgiveness, love. It's what you, how you steward in your heart, the truth decides what you believe and reveals what you'll manifest. So in the end, your life lived reveals what you believed. You're the steward of your own heart. You can't say, I'd be doing better if it wasn't for this and this and this. This and this and this isn't Lord. Get your eyes off of that for a second and look at who he is in the midst of this and this and this. That's your response. You can't say, well, if God would just change this, I'd be doing better. No, that's idolatry. As tough and challenging as that might seem, I'm telling you, it'll just be something else next week. If you need your spouse to be a certain way for you to be okay, I'm telling you, that's idolatry. You're letting one person decide who you are and how you are, and their name's not Jesus. But you find three other people that understand your story and have the same pains, and that's your support system. And now you hash your stories and stroke each other, and you might even pray for each other and think it's spiritual. Yeah, that's how I feel. Exactly. Because that's just enablement. All of a sudden, and then you say, well, that's compassion. You're being too mean right now. People need sensitivity. Not if it keeps you the same. You don't need people to, you call it compassion. No, you don't need people to have that kind of sympathy and sensitivity to you if it's going to keep you the same. Listen, I'm just telling you, I've pastored for years. I've been in one-on-ones. I've had to close doors, lock doors. I've been in nasty situations. One night I was home. I got to call people we knew. The man's in the arms of another woman. I got to go to their house. My wife says, you're fine. I don't mind if you go. I said, well, the kids are there and da-da-da. And I just want to make sure my wife, because I'm going to some lady's house and she's distraught. Look, she is no threat to me, okay? Hello, let's get over some of this delusional stuff where we always think we have to be a step away from falling apart and being some evil, wicked ball of flesh. She's no threat to me. Spirit of God is in me. I'm not going over there to be tempted and tested. I'm going over there to represent truth and Jesus. Come on. I got a long way to go if I can't walk in her house and not be in trouble. We just sell ourselves so cheap, and he bought us at such a price. And I'm not talking about presumption and foolishness. I'm talking about real deal stuff. You know, I tell the story a lot of times when I put the prostitute in my car to find the lady that ran off into addiction. There is no threat to me when she's in the car except what Christians think if they see it. That's the only threat to me is another Christian seeing it and thinking the worst. And then you're proving that you're not formed in love because love thinks no evil. You should be saying, oh, no, not Pastor Dan. You should be saying, oh, no, girl, you shouldn't have got in Pastor Dan's car. But I promise you, the sad thing is 90-some percent of Christians would have saw her get in my car on the corner of Pine Street and Princess, and you know what they'd have done? Oh, no, not Dan. Oh, but I so respected him. He spoke into my life. God, we need to pray. And now you're calling all your friends. And by morning, half the church knows it. And all I'm doing is trying to find a girl that's lost. And got a girl in my car crying, and I'm loving her, and she's so freaked out. She's going, who are you? Why do you care so much? Because she's never been loved in her life. She's only been used for what you can do and give a man a quick thing for 20 bucks to stay high. That's all she knows. And when you don't have that in your heart and you're telling her she's valuable, it was freaking her out. You keep saying you know me. You don't know me. I know you. There's a time to be born, and here you sit in my car. Your life is the will of God. He predestined you in this day, and he knew you before you were ever known. The Spirit of God wants to come and live inside of you, dear. I know you. You're worth his blood, his mercy, his forgiveness. You're not a prostitute. You're not an addict. You're called to be his girl. And I'm just, bah. She's in my truck. She made me take her in a dark alley to dump her off because she didn't want the dealers to see me go get the girl because they'd know she squealed. And she's like, you got to stop being, you got to be more inconspicuous. You got to stop being so obvious. You just, I said, honey, I came out of the dark a long time ago. And I don't even feel comfortable near the shadows. Honey, you're used to living in shadows, walking in the light. You know, I pulled in between those two dealers. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. You cannot pull in between two dealers to get the girl out of the alleyway into your car and not be confronted by the dealers. It's impossible. And she don't want to come. She sees my face and she's in the alleyway bawling because I represent Jesus to her. In fact, as a man, Dan, the only thing she's relating to because she's so condemned in her fallen lifestyle, she can't even relate to God, but she knows that man in that truck loves her. And she cannot even hardly believe, but in a way she can believe it. He's sitting right there trying to get me out of this alley. Ain't that something? And she's just crying her little eyes out. And she won't come. And I wound my window down. I said, honey, either you come in here and get in the truck and talk to me, or I'm coming in there. You shouldn't be here. Get away. Get out. And she's looking at them guys like, they're going to mess you up. I mean, one of them guys should have just come over and said, man, what you got with the girl? What's up, man? He should have said, what you got? Thinking some little dispute, some man that fell in love with a prostitute. Nobody, they didn't even act like I was there. I don't even know if they saw me. She just came and got my truck. Now, the end wasn't like you would hope. She got my truck. But that girl in the alley. I thought about that so many times. It didn't even hit me till the morning that I asked the prostitute lady to get in my car. Never even thought about it. In the morning, I went, oh, 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 oh. Because of what that looked like. And the Lord says to avoid the appearance of evil. Why? Because people think evil. If it's only the appearance of evil, it's not even evil, but people will think evil. So he's so humble and so loving that he says, don't cause people to stumble because they're thinking evil. Well, love doesn't think evil. So every time somebody's thinking evil, they're revealing that they're not formed in love. So they believe the worst, not the best. So he doesn't want her to not get in my car, and I got to set all these boundaries because I'm in jeopardy, because I'm at risk. That girl is zero threat to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Zero. She could say, honey, this is a free night. No, night for you to get free. Hello? You don't say, well, nobody's looking. No, you're looking. It's not even enough to say, well, God's looking. No, you're looking. And see what you do to yourself when you don't carry the value that he paid for? You cross lines and live up to the low level in which you see yourself. But if you let the gospel lift that value and identity up, this is not even a threat to you. You will never sell cheap because you're not for sale. You're bought with a price and you're in love. Come on, if this wasn't possible, righteousness produces its fruit to holiness. If it wasn't possible to walk in spirit-led, grace-driven holiness, it would not be in your Bible. But we sell out. Well, everybody has their day. Everybody has their moment. What are you saying? You're perfect? What are you saying? You don't sin? And now we're always lording our experience over his grace. And that one will light up social media, I promise. Because people tell me this stuff. I say, why do you even read that? Well, I pray for God. I said, why don't you just get off of it? Get off of it. Go pray for somebody. Why pray for them over social media? Stop. It might be a group of atheists drinking beer and smoking pot laughing at you. You don't even know who they are. Well, I'm sowing seed. Take a walk down the street and look in somebody's eyes and sow seed. Hello? I understand you might have some ministry on the internet. I'm not bashing it. What I'm saying is you should have some contact with folks.
Yeah.
You really should. So just take a ride one day, park your car, and take a walk on the street. Come on, you got time or you wouldn't be on there.
Man,
I got to stop. I'm sorry, I'm not spanking you. Do you feel spanked? I hope you don't feel spanked. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you who you're called to be. Look, I'm just telling you this from my heart. If you have trouble with anger, if things just bother you so bad, if just talk, just a guy like me, my personality, the way I'm coming across, you think you have to have an opinion about that? Well, he just kind of gets on my nerves. That's a warning signal to you that you're not very close to Jesus. No, it really is. I'm not trying to say that I'm right and you need to like me in the way I come across. What I'm saying is your preference has lorded over love. And all of a sudden, people get on your nerves. I suggest you get new nerves. All of a sudden, people bother you. I suggest that you change. Yeah, well, they just get under my skin. Get new skin. That's all I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're not Lord. And don't let your preference trump love. Because the preference didn't come from the Lord. It came from the fall. Because Jesus came and he didn't see none of that. When he's hanging there saying, forgive him, Father, don't think he wasn't talking about the Pharisees. Don't think he wasn't talking about them people that were spitting on him and punching him silly. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Whew, that should take us a long way right there. And we think we got issues because somebody did us wrong and our story's a little worse than your story and now we're justified? No, why don't we get back to following him? And let true compassion be compassion and not this sympathy stuff. I was going to quit at that. I'm done. You guys all right? Listen, we can live this way. You got to guard your heart. Out of your heart is the issues of life. So what you do with the things you hear about this stuff is between you, your conscience, and God. How you relate to others, how you handle things, injustices, wrongdoings, trials, struggles. Look, you can even be going through physical stuff. I understand it's wearing. I understand sometimes I'm not in your shoes maybe, and you say, no, you don't understand. Be careful that you're not taking your current situation and justifying around the image of God through your life. Because grace is always greater. My own mother proved that. Look, you might think you have it tough. You just can be glad you weren't in my mother's bed and shoes with tubes hanging out of her and going to the bathroom in a bag and fed by a bag and couldn't walk for 15 years. But man, she's the sweetest thing you ever met and she wouldn't complain and she shined. And I'm not saying God did that to her so she could, no, she believed in healing and we prayed and we just didn't see it change. But I didn't see her change. She wasn't an MS patient. She was a woman of God. So you're going to have a hard time talking me out of it because I have a real close experience with it. I was carrying my mom to bed when I was young. For 40 years, she was very sick. But you can see it hasn't made me angry. It hasn't made me believe things about God. But she taught me something valuable. To not let what you're going through decide who you are. Because what he went through is the truth about you. And the reason you're alive is to shine, not get through. She taught me that firsthand. Yeah? So you're not going to talk me out of it and say, well, you don't understand. No, I'm not here to compare our stories. I'm here to say, I probably understand a little more than you think, and I might not have seen it as bad as you, but truth doesn't change. I said it this morning. What are we going to do? Go around the room and find out who's been through the most hell and accomplish what? People say it all the time. Well, you don't know what I've been through. What an injustice to yourself. You don't know what other people have been through. You're making your story your reason for the way you are. That's called unbelief. That's idolatry. You're not even considering Jesus. You're locked into your story. So tomorrow's always yesterday. It'll be that way until you repent and change. What you got to do is say, wow, if those people knew who you were, they wouldn't have did the way they did. And if I knew you in that season, I wouldn't have reacted the way I did. Wow, I was sure stuck in darkness. Sure glad you pulled me out of darkness into the light, delivered me from darkness, translated me the kingdom of the Son of your love. Wow, good to be free, new creation, forever changed. You get it? It's that simple. You don't need prayer and deliverance like everybody thinks. You need right believing. Simple right believing. You say, yeah, but I got a stronghold. My dad never loved me. I got an orphan spirit. No, you got wrong believing. Stop letting your dad never love you trump God loving you through his son. It's just that simple. You don't have an orphan spirit. You're waiting for some big kabang. Just believe it now. Pretty simple. I could go around every day. What am I? 57. Forgot. Man, a year's ticking. You have to get out the calculator. If I wouldn't even remember my birthday if it wasn't for my dear wife. I wake up and she's, happy birthday. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's that bad. I'm bad with that. I'm 57. I could be going, well, yeah, but you don't understand what it was like when I was growing up, brother. I mean, it was tough, man. My dad was in a bad place. I didn't get no love, no love. I'm 57. I'm not growing up. At what point do I let the gospel change the way I see that and respond to that? It'll never go away. You can't change the facts. You can't rebuy time. So when am I going to let the truth make me free so I get a clearer perspective and stop letting the same fruit come out of the same lie? But then we think we need prayer and deliverance. Are you kidding me? You just need truth. You just need to change your mind and stop making this matter more than what matters most. This isn't you. This is you. And until you get this straight, you can't even see this straight. Are you with me? That's my cue that I'm supposed to end. Thanks, man. So I was in trouble. You don't know how glad I am that Kenny came up there because I told my wife, I said, no, I'll be done by one. I'm never long on a Sunday morning. I'll be done by one. Sorry, honey. I was wrong. I'm usually not late on a Sunday. Pastor Dave said, we don't have no clock or no, you can just go. But I wanted to end. No, I want to end. We don't have to sit here all day. I think we already heard enough. Let's just leave and live this thing. And let's not take account of suffer wrongs. Let's guard our own individual's heart and get our eyes off of somebody else's heart. Let's not listen to the sermon for our neighbor or our spouse. Let's not sit there the whole time and say, boy, I hope they're listening. They look distracted. I bind you, devil. I bind you, devil. They look distracted. Oh, she would be getting a piece of gum right now. This is the most important part for her. She needs this best shot cut out of her car. Sunday out of her. Sunday. Hey, sa, ha, ha, ha. Like she's going to pick up the gum. Come on, people do this stuff and they think they're being spiritual. No, you're crazy, distracted, and you're self-focused. Stop. Stop. Freaking me out. Look at that.
Why is she in her purse right now? Checking texts. No. Distraction. Spirit of distraction. And the whole time God wants you to hear. Because you're letting this decide you. And you think this is the problem. But how you're responding is the problem. Because then you feed and fuel a fire that you're praying to go out. Unbelievable. Don't do it. Make that unbelievable. Say never again. How about our closing prayer? We can live this, guys. You can stand before him someday and be the steward of your heart and have a clear conscience and know that you have purpose to guard your heart because out of your heart flows issues of life. Only you really know what makes you tick. Only you know why you do what you do. Be real with yourself. Be real with truth. And let grace empower you to live this way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you as we step into a new year, that we could step into a new year just in clarity, going after a goal. Like Paul said, I didn't apprehend. I didn't get to this goal yet. But man, I'm going to get there because I'm going to keep on going. And I'm not looking at what's behind. I'm going to reach forward to what lies ahead so I can apprehend, he said, the very thing you apprehended me for. Did you hear that? Jesus has intention in apprehending you. And Paul said, I'm going to go after him till I lay a hold of the very reason he laid a hold of me. That has nothing to do with circumstances. It has to do with your life and who you are in him. So, Father, we just thank you right now for change. We thank you for grace sufficient. We just thank you for the conviction of Holy Spirit every day in our lives. And I'm asking personally, Father, for every person in this room, since I got to shout and be intense and speak all this stuff, I am sincerely asking you, Holy Spirit, to come and help each and every one of us as we live out our days to walk in these truths, that you would meet us right where we're at. That we're not compared to one another. One's not higher and lower. We're all growing. We're all becoming. And I'm asking you to give grace sufficient to let every one of us take steps forward and never take steps back. In fact, I'm going to declare this. I don't usually do this in a beginning of a year thing, but I'm just declaring this as a year, Lord, that we don't take steps back. That in a couple months from now, we find ourselves forward. In a couple months from then, forward. That we don't find ourselves back and forth. But at the end of this year, we would look and say, man, what a year of growth, development, and increase. You have done a work inside of me, Lord. Come hell, come high water, let us be changed for your glory. I pray this and I believe it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I want to do something real quick. We did it this morning. I'm just going to do it because I do it everywhere I go because I want to. I do it a little different when I travel because I do it early and I take time. You guys understand that you believe, most of you believe it's God's will to heal. Even if there's sickness in the room, you still believe and we're going after and we're contending. You can never let your experience and how things are working out decide what you believe. You have to look at truth to find out what you believe in. His name is Jesus. And if you can't find in his life what you're finding in your experience, then don't turn it into belief system. You let your belief rest in him. So what we want to do real quick, and please participate if this fits. Any form of healing in your body, you have anything in your body, any disease, any sickness that you need healing for, please raise your hand right where you're sitting. Please don't hold your hand down if it needs to be up. Don't keep your hand down if it needs to be up. Just raise your hand. Yeah, look around, guys. Somebody near you with a hand up. Just squeeze them, grab them, touch their hand, say, let me hold your hand. Stand with them, believe with them. I don't do it this way normally when I travel, but this is the way I feel like we need to just do it. When you pray for them, just be short and sweet and specific and believe that they be healed in Jesus' name, completely made whole. Would you? Just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be completely made whole. If you're being prayed for, believe God loves you or he'd have never sent his son. Believe he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. He's for you. He's not against you. He'd have never wooed your heart if he was against you. You'd have no desire for him. You only drawn to him by grace. The Father's drawing you. So pray right now in Jesus' name, be completely healed. Father, we just thank you right now for healing all through this room. We just thank you that not one sickness could remain, that there would be change in bodies today, that today bodies would realize change, that people's bodies would change. Father, I thank you, strong,
No degeneration, no weakness, strength in Jesus' name. Father, things that we say are aging, I pray that you swallow them up today. And let us walk in the truth of what you prepared from the beginning. Yeah, I'm asking that grace in this room in Jesus' name. Now just thank him for loving you if you're being prayed for. Just thank him for loving you. Believe he's for you. And as you walk out of here today, you just walk in that freshness of his love for you and what you're called and created to. In Jesus' name. You guys good? Okay. Hug somebody, man. Make a friend, whatever. Meet somebody you didn't know before. And we love you. Bless you. Have a Jesus day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Happy New Year, guys. You need to close?